We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in to Tuesday edition. Blue Sky live here with you this morning. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. A little morning baseball action headed your way. Ole Miss and UNA. That's North Alabama. The Lions, 11 a.m. this morning from Swayze Field. Obviously, we'll not focus much on that because that will be happening by the time you mostly listen to this podcast. But anyway, it is happening. The Rebels with a directional Alabama team before the Crimson Tide comes in Thursday to Saturday. Huge weekend, obviously, if Ole Miss has any postseason hopes remaining. Elsewhere on the network, Brian Rippey and I discussed a little more baseball. That will be up later today. In podcast form with Rippy Wrights. I pinch hit for Colin as Colin is a high school softball coach, so he's a little busy at times on certain evenings as his Choctaw Central Club does play right now in season. So
what's their mascot?
Do what?
What's their mascot?
Chargers, I believe.
Oh,
maybe
lots of Chargers in Mississippi.
I think it's Chargers. I could be wrong. I'll look it up. But for some reason that stuck out in my head when you asked, because I panicked a little bit and I was not positive. So a little more baseball there. Henry Parrish back at Ole Miss. Yeah. Neil's boy from back in the day back home here.
Meant to be.
In Lafayette County. So we'll talk about that a good bit today.
I mean, Henry Parrish comes back to Ole Miss. Kevin Durant hints about coming back to the Thunder. I mean, you know.
Did he really?
A little bit.
Do you want him?
I don't know. Maybe.
Can we'll you see. Love him again?
I mean, it'll never be the same.
I can forgive, but I don't forget. Like it's adjusted at this point. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
I get it. Let bygones be bygones. As long as you score 32 a night, hey, you know what?
He released his new shoe contract. I mean, his new shoe thing, but it's all about Chet Holmgren.
Ooh,
it's really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Blue skies, they're out in Mississippi, up and down I-55, North Mississippi as well, including here locally at the Oxford Exxon. Lunch specials, $5.69, couple sides, bread, any size fountain drink. And those fountain drinks, you can get them filled up very, very cheap. Keep your cup, fill them up. Any Blue Sky location in Mississippi, the epicenter down in South Mississippi. And then all the Sweet Daddy's locations around Mississippi, pulled pork ribs, dessert, side items, and much more. Again, can be too from the Clark Ford Studio and the Campbell Clinic Hotline.
Yep, Corey Clark will join momentarily, tell us about Clark Ford, and then I'll tell you that he'll join and all other guests join on the Campbell Clinic Hotline. The Campbell Clinic in Oxford now, 2608 South Lamar Boulevard, Suite 102, just across the street from the cottages at Hooper Hollow. The Campbell Clinic provides full-service orthopedic care, everything from sports medicine to foot and ankle surgery to spine and total joint care. Pediatric orthopedics, physical therapy, and more. To book an appointment, go to CampbellClinicOxford.com or call 901-759-3111. Walk-ins always welcome at the Campbell Clinic, Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, sorry, Choctaw County Chargers. Wrong school a little bit there, but nonetheless, Choctaw County Chargers. So.
You're forgiven.
I mean, mistakes and whatnot, it is what it is. Yeah, that's kind of where we... where we sit, as I do every single PSA, I hope all the kids are protected and safe here this morning. I hate this game.
Despise it.
Get the kids out of school for a little while, but I feel badly for the teachers. And then foul balls worry the hell out of me for nine innings.
No doubt.
And have worried me as I've gotten older even more. I just kind of look around the place and go, and they're not paying attention. Please don't rifle a line drive into the seats just above the dugout.
I used to have to go cover this game in Mobile with the Bay Bears, and it terrified me. Because the kids aren't paying attention. They're kids.
Yeah, of course.
They're just being kids. And I mean,
We're singing the songs and doing the dances and the whole deal.
The only time that you would even allow foul balls to get hit up in there is when the songs are going on and they're dancing and singing because they might be paying attention.
Yeah.
But when the game's going on, they're not paying any attention and they're just sitting ducks.
Yeah. So it's an uneasy situation for me.
In many ways, it's a bad idea.
I've probably covered 12 or 13 of these by now, because I've even been to a couple, multiple, which is odd, at Louisville. And I'm not aware of any injuries to date.
I know. No,
it's kind of amazing almost. Like, I kind of think about it and go, how? But, okay.
I'm the same way. People are like, well, nobody gets hurt. I'm like, I get it. I understand. I'm not old man yelling at the clouds. I'm glad the kids are having fun.
Yeah.
But can't y'all put up a better net? I mean, That's it.
Get there early if you're a teacher and get my kids behind the thing and go, hey, at least for the next 3 hours, my own sanity is not questioned as we go through this. Grace and Saunier on the hill for the Rebels today. The fourth meeting all time between UNA and Ole Miss, and it's been somewhat interesting over the years. You had 2019 was Ole Miss's worst RPI loss of the Mike Bianco era. He was not a happy camper that day. And then in 21, that was Tim Elko's ACL tear was against UNA in that game because they just couldn't throw the ball to first base. And then I looked, and I do not remember this game at all, but early in the 22 season, the national championship season, Ole Miss beat. This took some work. 20-3 was the score in a game that lasted only 2 hours and 38 minutes. 23 runs.
So somebody put the memo out that said, hey, swing it. Let's go.
Yeah, like that was kind of incredible when I was looking at the box score this morning. I was like, 20-3 in game that went 238. So the lines are really bad again. Ole Miss will have its second plus 200 quad four, whatever the hell you want to call it, game today. As you talk about resumes, things. So the RPI, again, it got up to 24 at one point yesterday. It will not be 24 after this game today. It will take a little bit of a dip here after playing the Lions coming up in a couple hours. Mike Bianco got the lineup out. I mean, it's a tremendous day for baseball.
What time is the Saturday game?
Let's look. I don't know. Because you got a Thursday game. You got a Friday night game. Then you have a Saturday game. So I'll look at that real quick while you're doing that. Let's see.
Corey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Corey Clark of Clark Ford joins for a couple minutes here on this Tuesday morning. We were looking up Saturday times for. I was curious because usually the final game of a weekend series is a little earlier.
A little getaway.
To let the road team get away a little quicker.
2 o'clock.
That's what I thought.
2 o'clock.
That's what I thought.
Which, you know, Bama won't be bothered by that because they're the one, at least they were 2 years ago. I don't know if it's changed. I haven't looked at it this closely. They're the ones that have done they've stayed with traditional times from like back in the day with the game times. They always play later on Sundays than most teams. True. Bama kind of does the little more of a traditional deal from that. So, yeah, just bit of an interesting thing about the Tide there. You excited for double-decker, Corey? You headed to town?
Well, you know, if I sound like I got a little pep in my step, it's because I'm headed to Gulf Shores here in about 15 minutes for the golf trip. So, I went and already got my steroid shot for my gout, so I can just eat all the shellfish I want, drink as much, you know, got all that handled. I was in coffee talking to Chief, and his grandson bats cleanup for Alabama. Very unique name, Hodo, HODO.
Yep.
But he's the four hole hitter for Alabama, and he's going over there and was kind of joking about he probably needed to carry around his Ole Miss degree so he didn't get yelled at instead of, you know, because he's going to wear Bama gear, but there's a lot of Ole Miss connections there with that family.
Corey, pause for a moment. Corey, pause for a moment and then just say hello, friends, with the birds chirping in the background.
Hello, friends. I'm in that same alley where that guy. Psycho stood next to me, so I'm kind of
be nice.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we're here fine. I was just listening to the birds in the background. It's very, very peaceful.
It is a beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky.
It is a gorgeous day in North Mississippi. I walked outside to take the trash out, and I told Carson when I came back in, it was a perfect day. Like 72 degrees today, sunny. It's what you draw up, probably.
That's right. Well, yeah, we're heading out of town, so if anybody wants to call the dealership, they need to talk to Cheese. Ask for Cheese.
What's going on at the dealership? What do you have available?
Man, we're end of the month. Just need to finish strong. So nobody better call us kind of wanting to halfway talk about buying a vehicle because they're going to end up buying one. So if you got it on your mind, give us a call. And we'll put you in it. Need to finish the month strong, but everything's good. We've got a lot of new inventory that we've bought, and so we've got some options there for you.
Well, have a safe trip down to the coast. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, guys. Later.
Clark Ford, 62-257-1900, Amory, Mississippi, Highway 25 South for him. So, again, he's not there, but they'll take care of you there at Clark Ford again in Amory, 262-257-1900. So, it's kind of for baseball. There's not really more to say about that. They're going to play UNA. They're going to play Alabama, and we'll see where they go from there. I'm not breaking down the Lions this morning on this here podcast. I got nothing. So
it's one of those deals where if we're talking about UNA tomorrow, it really doesn't matter anymore.
And look, Ole Miss, I mean, historically, Ole Miss has struggled in this morning game. It's a weird game. The kids, like, it's kind of odd. They lost to UNA in a morning game. They got swept by UAB in a morning game doubleheader a few years ago. That was not a fun day at all. That's where the kind of the running joke of Mike hating Rippey came from, because he ate him alive after the doubleheader sweep to UAB back in whatever year that was. They've not had a great track record, and it's even been sloppy in some of the wins. It's kind of hard to get going there, and it's not even. I mean, it's like Sonia is pitching, but if he pitches really, really well, what does that mean? Nothing. I mean, like, you know what I mean? There's very little to take this. I mean, frankly, it's just play some clean baseball. They commit so many damn errors that. Can you just put 9 innings together of making outs and defensively and doing that moving forward? So anyway, yeah. Henry Parrish coming back. This has been the worst kept secret in the world for, I don't know what, Neil, 6 months at this point.
Least.
I mean, seriously, this has been since Kevin came back, basically.
Yes.
I mean, that's the genesis of where this came from.
I mean, Henry and I have stayed in touch. Over the years, we've talked about
that text. Is that Instagram? Is that pen pals? Is that carrier pigeons?
All of that. We just talked.
You leave post-it notes certain places?
A little bit. What do we do? I would just send him a message that says, miss you.
Miss you.
He'd send me a message back saying, miss making you happy.
Miss making you.
you were my best fan.
You should get a trophy for that, really.
I mean, there were some moments. So, you know, full circle. He comes home. Back, he's gonna live here in one of the guest rooms. No, he's not. I'm kidding.
That sounds illegal. I'm just saying. Well, I don't know today.
I don't know.
Never mind. All Chase, good.
I don't know if you've heard.
Are you actually? In all seriousness, we've had over
there
the years.
Are no rules.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Over the years, I mean, to look back in the day, we had reporter that hit a player so he couldn't be visited by another school.
Yeah,
Gene.
Yeah.
We had, speaking of this entity, we had a reporter who would travel to college campuses and put kids on the phone with the coach.
Yeah.
That would happen.
Yeah.
Get a lot of stuff.
I think Rizzo would have liked him.
No, it might have been number two. That might have been the second person that he backed away from. I'd get Grant on the horn one day to tell some stories. We've had... I've probably told this on the podcast. I was trying to find a writer covering West Virginia one time, and I was like, hey, who do I need to talk to, blah, 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 blah. And I called some dude that covered West Virginia for the Post-Gazette in Pittsburgh, and I was like, hey, whatever. And he's like, yeah, I don't really, whatever, it's not my thing. And I was like, what about the team site guy over here? Because I don't remember what network he was. And he was like, oh, no, don't call that dude. And I was like, what? And he goes... He's the guy that, after a game against Maryland, ran out on the field, the middle of field, and did a throat slash to Ralph Friedgen in front of his face. after the game.
Wow.
I mean, that might be the best one yet. Apparently, this cat, literally the game ended, ran out to where the handshake line was and did the throat slash to the fridge for Maryland.
Wow. Rivals give him a raise. I mean, what happened? I mean,
I pointed out those things and didn't even get into the Arkansas cat getting arrested for knocking Chuck's hat off his head in Fayetteville that night.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Michael Orr saving everybody. Michael looking around going, nah, it was him. And they just went and grabbed him, took him away. I was like, I'll be down. David Brandt and I just staring at each other like, well, that was interesting. That was an interesting 25 seconds.
That was an interesting evening.
All the way around.
Yep.
That was 08, right?
In so many ways. Yeah, 08. Yep.
Yeah, nuts first stand there. But Henry, he had his best statistical average yards per rush season at Miami this past year, but the fewest number of carries he has had in his career. Basically the same role he had at Ole Miss. It was not a differing thing for the Hurricanes. Had 100 carries. He averaged 6.3 per touch, 6 touchdowns. It's the most touchdowns he had at Ole Miss over the course of the 3 seasons. 131 carries, 105 carries, 56 carries, 4.7, 5.3, 4.7 from a yards per carry standpoint. It's workable depth. He's a guy who's been around.
He caught 21 passes.
He did catch 21 balls.
In 22.
Which matters. Lane likes that.
Oh, I think it's significant.
Yeah. How do you sort this running back room right now? Because, I mean, there's no bell cow, but suddenly they got a lot of dudes.
Yeah, I think it shows you.
It's an NFL model.
I think it kind of shows you that he being Lane, looks at this and I mean, I hate getting on this topic. I hate breaking it down like this, but it is what it is. It's pro sports. Was a running back worth, what do you think the budget is? Let's be real for a minute.
For a running back?
No. What do you think the team budget is this year?
$9.5 million.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's call it 10 for easy math.
Yeah, sure.
If you give a running back $1 million of that. I mean, that's what Quinshon basically wanted. If you give a running back 1/10 of your budget, is that worth it? I think the answer from Lane is no. Now, it's deeper than that. But let's be clear. They would have put up with that if he hadn't asked for more and more and more. They'd put up with some of the craziness for 2 years. They could put up with it for another year. Agreed?
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they finally hit a point. I'm always amused at the, it's either black or white. It's like, no, man. Everything's always some shade of gray. He was a very productive football player, Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, sure.
There's no way around that. Over the last 2 seasons, he was the best running back in the SEC. You could argue 2 years ago that Sanders at Arkansas was better. You could argue last year that the kid at Missouri
Cody
was
Schrader.
Better. Schrader. But in general, over 2 years, the best back in the league was Quinshon Judkins.
Yes.
Okay?
Numbers that had not happened since Herschel and stuff there in year one.
100%.
Yeah.
So it wasn't worth it. Financially, they looked at it and went, okay, if we give him this, other guys are going to know that he got it. It's one of the, I'm derailing my own thoughts. I'm sorry.
You're good.
So I think they look at this and go, all right, let's do this by committee. We're not going to ruffle a lot of egos here. You've got Bentley who's getting whatever he's getting. You've got Parrish who's coming back getting whatever he's getting. You've got the kid from New Mexico whose name escapes Merritt. Getting what he's getting.
And he ran for like 1,190 yards last year.
You still got Logan Diggs, but now you don't have to count on Logan Diggs. And if you get Logan Diggs back in the middle of October.
He's got fresh legs and ready to go.
Assuming he's healthy.
Yeah, sure.
He's fresh legs and ready to go. And you still have.
Krosky Merritt.
And you still have Riscano.
Yep. Maybe I have no idea.
And that beats me.
Yeah. No one has seen him play.
Maybe he's awesome. Maybe he's a non-factor. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are others who cover the program who will give you very informed, specific, detailed, almost certainly positive reviews. I don't know. So that appears to be the plan. And that way, nobody's egos ruffled. You play the best guy.
You can withstand some injuries because you're going to get them at running back.
Yeah, you're going to get guys get banged up.
And for the most part, guys who catch the football, as you said.
And it might be a deal where against certain opponents, one guy plays a bunch, and against another opponent, because it's a different kind of matchup, you play a different kind of back. I don't know. We'll see. But I do think you're seeing the economics and the ego of roster building. So here's my second point.
Yeah, sure.
I get this question, and I'll talk about it in the mailbag tomorrow. People are asking, why do you think that the spring portal has been a little less eventful? And I'll tell you why. I think it's culture, it's chemistry, and it's you bring in a big-name guy now and pay him a bunch of money. I know we're trying to keep everything, everybody's trying to keep things private. Kids talk. And these kids have agents now. Agents talk. Agents really talk. So now guys find out that, okay, you brought those guys in and they're making more than me and they've never played here. I want more. Okay, well, yeah, we're already kind of maxed out though. So you got to go get more money to get that guy more money. And now you've got these, you're going into
the never-ending cycle.
You're going into the offseason where people get their feelings hurt. People are pissed off. Well, that impacts chemistry, culture. And if you wait too long, that stuff rears its ugly head in the fall. You drop a game you weren't supposed to drop, and next thing you know, the whole thing's imploding. I think you're seeing, hey, let's do the overwhelming majority of the roster building in January, December, January, and then that gives you more time to build culture and camaraderie and sort things out and smooth over problems and things of that nature. I think that's where it is. If a coach tells me I'm dead wrong, I'll believe him. But that's kind of what I think. Because you've sort of seen this around the country. The portal's been kind of quiet in football.
This is interesting. I actually like that comment in the stream. Thank you for that. He mentions the checks clearing first of the month. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't get paid always. A lot of schools around the country make promises they don't deliver. The portal does not stay open through the first of a month, which is interesting.
The portal closes April 30th. Yeah.
So you're not missing a check while the portal is open. Now, you might miss a check 2 days after the portal closes. But it's a good point. If the portal ran through the first of the month, I mean, I'm making up percentages, but 15% extra of people would be in the portal.
I mean, maybe, but like you get in the portal this time, you better know where you're going.
Yeah, yeah. But we're not talking about lack of emotion, rational decisions when it comes to, hey, I didn't get paid, and by God, I'm out.
Oh, for sure.
It's like I've got a. I'll do it in a minute. I was reading about the Southern Conference and what they needed for NIL and basketball in the SoCon, because that's so different than what we do every day. And again, I'm going to tease this, and I'll come back to it in a second. The commissioner, one of the ADs, I forget who it was kind of like, you know, kind of upset and going, all the team stuff that we've taught kids forever is just gone. Mm-hmm. The ones being punished, though, are the kids who are doing it. So, like, I'm not insensitive to it, Neil. That's not my point. But you know what I mean? Is the negative impact comes to the people that are making the decisions to have the negative impact. It's almost kind of like when a guy leaves for the draft early and he doesn't get drafted, you go, it's life. You made a bad decision.
Yeah, 100%.
So, look, you could stay and get all the team stuff you want to, but you chose not to. I don't have a lot of sympathy. I struggle with that a little bit. Now, the system forces it. I get it. It's more complicated.
Not really.
But at the end of the day.
Not really. Not really.
Yeah.
You have time. You've had time to think about your decision. You get in the portal now, and if you don't have a home and it's a disaster, I mean, do I have empathy? Sure.
But nobody forced you.
But do I have sympathy?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, two different things.
So I mean, I feel bad about it because young person makes a decision, right?
But yeah, sure. But young person makes a decision.
But there were warning signs.
You chase the positive and the negative happen.
I mean, Henry Parrish got in the portal knowing exactly where he was going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If he didn't know exactly where he was going, and Henry Parrish, let's just use Henry as an example. I mean, I like to call him Hank, but
sure.
Yeah. He jumps in the portal, doesn't know where he's going, thinking that there's going to be a pot of gold, and suddenly everybody's like, no, we're kind of budgeted out, man.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not Monopoly money. Now, there are schools, multiple schools that are operating on credit right now, and that is scary. Because if the season goes bad, the pledges aren't going to be there. I had a coach tell me, not Ole Miss, had a coach tell me, it's like, you might be old enough to remember this. It's like the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they go, well, that's a grand tally, and you'd see the big number run up. And he was like, yeah, but privately, everybody knew you weren't going to get but about 60% of that money. People got worked up in the emotion.
Because back then it wouldn't have been like, hey, we're going to take your credit card number right now and run that, baby. Like,
they just made a pledge.
Yeah.
Just made a pledge. Not all money that gets promised gets delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So you're operating on credit and you don't have it.
And night-night.
Night-night. Kids leave. There's no patience for that. No, hey, give me a month.
Yeah. Speaking of, Jaden Rashada back in the portal.
Saw that.
Yeah. We'll tell you more about that. But, you know, look, a lot of stuff going on. Maybe better help is what you need right now to get through all these type of situations. A lot of times we spend our lives wishing we had more time. Question is, time for what? If it was unlimited, how would you use it? Best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule to know what's important to you, make it a priority, and therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy's great because you talk to somebody who doesn't already have preconceived notions. It's not family or friends who have their own emotions and thoughts they're putting into it. It's just for you. It's about you. It's about getting you help and coping skills necessary for that, whatever it is. So if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, get BetterHelp. A shot here to make that happen. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn how to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MPW to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MPW.
Are you retiring soon? How long should you wait to take Social Security? What accounts should you pull from first? Are you already retired? Should you consider Roth conversions? These are just some of the questions that can only be answered with a personalized retirement income plan. Andrew Sego, Sego Wealth Management, specializes in helping folks just like you come up with their retirement game plan. Whether you meet at his office in Collierville or prefer Zoom from anywhere, schedule a free discovery meeting and see what they can do for you. It's rebelsretire.com. We're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. It's starting to get warm. You can feel it coming. If you haven't gotten your air conditioning unit checked out, now's the time. Different names, same great products, people, and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, Batesville, those areas, get in touch with Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call 662-429-4429. College Corner has a giveaway going on. If you come into the store in Oxford over the course of the next, I guess, a couple weeks, and you leave a tip. That tip goes right to the Grove Collective. It also gets you registered for a Grove Collective Lane Kiffin signed football. That's at the Oxford location, just off Sisk Avenue in the Oxford Commons, more than 4,000 square feet of the best Rebel gear. You can also check them out at collegecornerstore.com, plus two locations in the Jackson area. When you work with Argent Wealth's 401k advisory services team, you gain a valuable advisory team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. They're committed to providing you with the personalized attention and involvement that you want and need. Their goal is to help you manage your 401k plan properly and ultimately improve your employees' retirement readiness. It's myargentwealth.com.
So what I was referring to there is, it was the East Tennessee State AD, Richard Sanders, I believe is his name, and he said that in the Southern Conference, they need about $200,000 in NIL funding for men's basketball, which at East Tennessee State, that's not some guarantee, because that's what's funny about that is everybody has the same relative issue. It's all the same. And, I mean, it's not like East Tennessee State is getting all these rights deals in and making that worth anything. I mean, you're simply just doing the same tread water and trying to make it work there as anywhere else. But he believes a couple players will receive $40,000 to $50,000 each. Maybe three or four more will have packages of $25,000 to $40,000, and then a few other players could get upwards of $15,000. Pretty much that's what we're trying to shoot for. Most SoCon all-conference players have hit the portal for bigger paydays. That's the reality of where it is. When the transfer portal and NIL came in at the same time, you couldn't have had a more impactful combination, two different programs just creating unbelievable turmoil, changes the core of what we've always tried to do. Use sport as a way to build a lot of social value through teamwork, resiliency, through working together, working hard. Now it's all come down to what am I going to get paid? I think a lot of the values we were trying to teach through sports have pretty much been eliminated. Again, East Tennessee State AD Richard Sanders with that that comment there as we move on. It's kind of the theme of this segment. It's a couple different rights deals. And I'll localize this other one. So Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, the four teams going to the Big 12 from the Pac-12 as it is disintegrating into – I guess they were told yesterday they couldn't operate as an individual entity. Is that the way the court ruled yesterday? I think I saw that, the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think so.
So the Mercury News, John Wilner, really good reporter, said, I try to break this down. The reason I'm saying this is that they're not going to have the surplus coming to offset, as Neil said, it's not monopoly money, the revenues necessary in your budgets. Because Ole Miss, as we talked about a good bit over the course of different things with the whole women's basketball football deal, when Ole Miss released their revenue numbers, Ole Miss operated as an $8 million deficit for this past fiscal year. And while it's real money, they didn't necessarily care that much because it works on cycles if you're an SEC program. You wait on the next big TV deal to hit, and when that next TV deal hits, you've got a surplus, and you run through the surplus, and you have a little bit of a deficit at the end, and then it replenishes again, and you just keep doing it over and over and over again. And if you looked at it on a four-year plan instead of an annual plan, you're cool. It's all right. It kind of works itself out. It's fine. So you wouldn't be freaking out, even though a private CPA would freak out, not the same way that they would at a lot of other conferences. The Big 12 is in this mess, even with them finding a little bit of life raft, because when you take out the institutional help, and when I say that, the money the university put in from the university side to make up for the losses, yep, at these four schools, mm-hmm, the losses were $140 million last year at, sure, those four schools combined. That's how much they had to make up. Says here, now that the schools are moving to the Big 12, Wilner anticipates the situation will improve, but not nearly enough to cover the shortfall. Some back-of-the-napkin math shows the four schools will bring in $45 million each in their first year in the Big 12, which is about $10 million more than they received in the Pac-12. Even if the estimate is low by a few million dollars per school, it won't offset the need for campus support next year. Without that support, the operating shortfalls for those schools are in excess of $35 million in 23, Utah's deficit at 14.4. In theory, the Utes will get close to break even in the Big 12 distributions in 25. The other three will not. From their vantage point, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado will continue to rely heavily on university subsidies in their new home to even break even. So we keep talking about revenue. The hell with revenue.
Yeah,
the university is starting to hand over checks. And like Arizona was the best, like they're the team that probably had the best overall situation as far as name value, mm-hmm, and sports and everything. Mm-hmm. But they're a freaking wreck right now. Yeah. And Robbins is stepping down whenever they did the whole AD thing. Yeah. And we've had a tumultuous up and down over the time.
I mean, I had Henry, you had Robbins.
I did. Yeah. But that's no longer the case. I mean, look, when you, and I'm going to get yelled at, when you misplace like $500 million,
it apparently happens.
I mean, rounding error and whatnot.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, call any accountant and go, I mean, who among us? Right?
I get it's not that simple. I'm playing. But
I mean, who among us?
But the point is, they're in the Big 12. They actually got a little bit of a life raft. And you should look at it and go, hey, Chancellor, I'm going to need about $30 million here to offset, yeah, this bad boy.
Because you're running programs that, if from a business standpoint, shouldn't be run.
Yeah. It just,
I mean, be careful what you wish for. I've been saying it for a while now. I'm not alone. There's a lot of people saying it. Be careful what you wish for here. When you turn this into a pure business, people are going to make pure business decisions.
I'm not prepped on this yet. Maybe we do this tomorrow. But Michael McCann, who's probably the top sports legal opinion of the country,
yeah,
for Sportico, he says here, I'll just give you the quote. And again, well, I'll tease this for tomorrow because I'm moving on to something else and I don't have enough knowledge of the subject. But it says, his quote, says, schools who pay football and or men's basketball players but not pay other athletes will undoubtedly face Title IX litigation, and they also will likely face claims under the Equal Pay Act and the Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. They're going to separate because it's the only way to avoid
but
this.
But how will they do it?
I don't know, but they can't do that. But he's right.
Oh, he's right.
Yeah, I just read the quote and went, It's the, for all the, again, I'm not prepared, so I'm going to say a sentence and move on. It's for all the stuff that was in the Title IX thing or not in the Title IX last week, it's actually the one thing that's the most relevant right now is the situation of accusers of assault allegations being able to confront the victim accuser situation, like that deal. Like everything is in separate rooms and whatnot, and there's a trickle down into that is going to feed off into the sports systems for some ways, because they think that players are going to get hung up in the what do you do about the person accused that's the player, as far as leaving them active, suspension, and basically going against our normal code from a criminal standpoint, because obviously Title IX is not a criminal legal situation in that way. So it's a really, really murky deal that McCann thinks is trickling down into the economics of it. Again, I can send you the link. We can.
Yeah, I mean, I'll dive into it. We've known this was coming for a long time. You're forcing politics and law into business decisions, while also saying, hey, and run this like an amateur sports model, but now also run it like a business. Chase, it doesn't work.
No, no.
Yet, I don't know how you create a system. No one does. All they ever come up with is, well, we can revenue share.
Which is such a loosely defined term.
Yeah.
So loose. And speaking of that, Ross Dellinger, as he typically does, really, really good story with the conference commissioners over the course of this college football playoff structure, how to divide the money, the whole deal, the fights that they've had in the boardrooms and whatnot. I mean, he starts his story with former Big 12 commissioner Bob Bowlesby getting up, walking out of the room, and someone going, hey, Bob, the meeting's not over. And he goes, it is for me, and just walked out in the middle of it. His tensions and tempers flared.
Oh.
There inside the room, because you've got so many people looking for different elements of what they're trying to achieve. But just a few things from it that are cliff notes here. Again, this is from Dellinger. He's examining the impact of commissioners' ability to decide on a college football playoff format back in 2022 is kind of where this stems from. As the MAC commissioner John Steinbrecher tells him, the inability to conclude a deal two plus years ago had a pretty significant impact on where the financials ended up. What was on the table in 2022 was simply different. The delay opened the door for continuing changes to where we ended up. Dellinger notes the SEC and Big Ten did in fact negotiate a one-sided deal, in part by using a lingering belief they would abandon all others to form their own postseason, something we've talked about a lot here on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But would the SEC have really left the CFP? Commissioner Greg Sankey says, quote, absolutely. When we ended that set of meetings in January 2022 without a decision, I was clear. If you're going to walk away from this opportunity, we're going to reevaluate our position on format, revenue sharing, and governance. People called me after the latest deal and said, why'd you take a hard line? Why'd you put us in this position? I said, you guys walked away from the deal. This year's negotiations were at times heated, according to ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, who tells Dellinger, I don't think anybody loved all of it, but everybody tried to message what they felt was important for their conference. You bargain and push as hard as you can. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, who's done a hell of a job overall, acknowledges he, quote, isn't thrilled with the revenue distribution, but says it's the best deal we could get. Pac-12 Commissioner adding college athletics is one of the most inefficient economic models that probably exists from a business perspective. It's not particularly logical. I'm concerned that everything that is happening, financial disparities and litigation, is going to put people out of business. It is, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Our new Pac-12 commissioner, because that's always the height of success here inside this realm, is Teresa Gould.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. I could have given you a lot of names and you wouldn't have had any idea, right?
No, I would.
I never could have pronounced the name of the last dude, so I'm glad we moved on from him because I struggled with his name.
What he's doing now?
not running a major conference. That's what he's not doing. I don't think somebody on the Forbes list called him and goes, hey, why don't you come run my crisis communication division?
Probably not.
He's not the he's not the CEO of GM today.
Well, that decision didn't work. What do we got next? There is no next.
Scare tactic or true? He would have left SEC Big Ten. Even now,
he has a responsibility to his 16 member institutions. Look, man, if we're talking about just money, does the SEC and Big Ten, do they really need the other schools? Do they need them?
Am I Pollyanna for hating that we are just talking about that? Because it's not the freaking point.
Well, okay, but
you can blame me. I mean, it's fine, no, but like, I'm just going.
But follow along. Sure. If you just took an,
I get it. I know,
and I don't care if you do this in every freaking sport.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you just go, okay, here's what we're going to do. The SEC is going to have a playoff, and the Big Ten is going to have a playoff, and the two champions are going to meet and fill in the blank on this date, and we're going to make it a big TV extravaganza, and we're going to take all the money and divide it. How many SEC schools are there?
16. 16.
And 18. So we're going to divide it 34 ways. Instead of 70-something ways, we're going to divide it 34 ways. Oh, and then we're going to do the same damn thing with baseball, with basketball, with whatever. And we're just going to keep all the damn money ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, is anybody even bitching about it? Is everybody going, that's the champion?
Well, they are. I mean, sure.
So what's the incentive? Yeah, if I'm Greg Sankey, at some point I'm in there going, hey, we've got the clout, man. We don't need you. Do you really need the ACC champ for the playoff? Do you really need it? No.
Mm-mm.
You don't need it. Everybody goes, well, wouldn't that make it better? Oh, sure. But do you need it? Would ESPN and Fox sign up for the SEC Big Ten thing I just described?
Oh, yeah.
You're damn right.
It's a lot like your...
And I'll go one step further. Yeah, yeah. If you really wanted to absolutely monopolize your money... You could go, and by the way, we're not going to play East Tennessee State anymore. We're not going to play Mercer anymore. I tell you what we'll do. We'll do this deal where SEC teams play 10 SEC games and 2 Big Ten games every year. And then we'll do our thing. We'll have our playoff and we'll come back together. Or we'll play 9 SEC games and 3 intersectional games. And guess what, TV people? You won't have any – your worst game, yeah, you'll get a Vanderbilt Purdue game here and there. You won't.
You'll get some bangers too.
But though, you won't have Ole Miss Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Mercer, but nothing against Ole Miss. But let's be real.
It's Furman this year, by the way.
Whatever. You won't have Mississippi State, East Tennessee State. That's off the table.
They did play last year.
Yeah, you'll get Mississippi State,
Indiana,
and that's a bit of a dud. But okay, I mean that's it's not bad.
We'll go with it.
You can put that on the clearance rack and make it work. But you know what you'll get. You'll get Alabama, Penn State.
Uh-huh.
You'll get Ole Miss, Michigan. You'll get Texas, Wisconsin.
Ohio State, yeah.
Yeah. You'll get those will become regular. Fox will say, sign me up. ESPN says, sign me up. And everybody else is just left out. And you tell everybody else, hey, it's too late. You're off. The ride took off. There does come a point where you close the doors.
Now, how to handle the rest of the sports, I don't know.
All right. The rest of them, here's.
But they do because you've got to deal with it. Yeah. Like they matter in that way.
But I'm going to be pragmatic for a minute and go, we'll just do the same damn thing. And we're going to figure out a way to cut cost. That's what we're going to do. Instead of having the basketball tournament that's 400 teams that you split it among 38, 40.
The presidents will never go for this, though, because it's leaving out premier programs in these other sports. There's no way.
Of course.
Like, it's not... It's the problem we keep running into, and the reason that Neil and I are both driving ourselves insane talking about the same thing over and over and over and over again is that there's actually no answer that makes sense.
Of course, that's my point. Because if you want to do the answer that is just economic sense, there it is.
But it's not.
But that answer is not palatable.
Once you don't run things like a business, it's no longer about a business.
Right. What I just told you isn't palatable.
No.
Right? People go, but that's not, wait, college, but. And so you go, okay, well, then you're bringing in all this other stuff, and all that other stuff brings problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then look, if you've got to pay, I got to be careful how you define what is a female athlete. But if you have to pay female athletes the same NIL package that you pay of revenue sharing that you pay men, well, now you're really watering it all down. You're creating more problems. I don't know the answer because I don't think there is an answer. I think if there were an answer, the smart people that are running the sport would already have come up with it. And you can think what you want to think about Greg Sankey. The guy is a brilliant man.
Yeah, sure.
And Greg Sankey hasn't come up with this answer.
No, he doesn't know either.
It's because there might not be one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And see, all the people in the thread, I'm not criticizing you guys, but you're talking about the optics and the competitiveness and stuff. I'm just talking about the money. I'm not talking about all of that stuff. Like, my answer to be like, well, are you going to play baseball in Michigan in February? I don't know. Figure it out. I'm talking about just money. Everybody else does that. Yeah, but wouldn't that ruin the pageantry of it all? I'm like, this is why the NFL works. The NFL doesn't give a shit about pageantry. They just play the damn games. But they don't have to worry about what do we do about Title IX. They don't have to sweat Title IX. The Dallas Cowboys don't have to worry about Title IX. They don't have to worry about, well, what do we do about our volleyball team? What do we do about our golf teams? No, they just play football. The NFL just plays football. It's a business. They have a labor agreement with the players' union. They have a salary cap that's nuanced as hell, but it's there. There is structure. If you want to fix it, you got to have structure.
Mm-hmm.
The college sports right now is a big highway going around a mountain. No speed limit, and no guardrails. So, of course, like everything's just flying off the sides. It makes no sense. There's a fix. But the fix is a pragmatic fix that absolutely goes against what makes everybody love college sports.
Yeah, it actually isn't a fix.
There's the point.
Yeah, it's actually not a fix.
At the end of the day, when people
it's also not something presidents and chancellors are ever going to agree to, ever.
Yes.
Even in the SEC and Big Ten.
So when people say, what's the answer? And I say, I don't think there is one.
The answer was to pull back regulations on the damn players.
Of course.
That was the answer.
It's too late now.
Was the answer.
The summer of 2020 happened, and people are still trying to figure out how in the hell do we fix it.
That's the answer. Because you allowed the zero guardrails, and here we are.
And here we are. And so now that everybody's gotten used to going, you ever been on the, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was on I-40 the other day.
God bless you.
It was wild. And basically, to keep up, you had to be going about 85. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're just flying. vroom, yeah. And then all of a sudden you're on Highway 7,
yeah,
which is the North Mississippi speed trap.
Yeah.
And speed limit's 55.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I'm going to go like 62.
Yeah, sure.
And you're driving 62 miles an hour after 4 hours, 5 hours of going 85, and it feels like you're not moving. Uh-huh. And you're like, I just want to go. I'm ready to hit the button here. That's, you've opened it up. You've let people go to all Talladega here, flying around turn one and turn two, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, we need to slow down. Everybody's like, yeah, but I don't like slowing down. I like going fast. And that's the problem. The unlimited transfer thing is an absolute disaster. It's a disaster for the sport. The way they unveiled Title IX without any rules, without any kind of a database, without anything, just, hey, give them whatever the hell they want. Now there are no rules. That's
NIL, but yeah.
All that come up. What did I say?
Title IX.
Whatever. Yeah. NIL. You know what I mean? All of it.
Yeah.
They didn't fix it. They didn't roll it out in any sort of a structured way. They just vomited it. And there it is.
Yeah. Dillinger store is good. Give it a read and there.
Ginger nails it right here. I mean, it's the cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. You're not getting that toothpaste back in the tube. There's no way to do it. I mean, I guess you can cut the tube open and you can smear it back in and whatever, but you're not getting the toothpaste back in the tube. You've squeezed it all out, all over the lavatory, and now you're like, the tube is completely empty and it's all rolled up and shriveled, and someone goes, all right, get all that back in. Not doing it. It is a disaster. And the people that run college sports will tell you that privately, that it's a disaster, that this is insanity.
And yet here we are.
And here, there you are.
Yeah. Read the story. It's there. It's worth it. Good quotes. Interesting quotes there from Ross. Does a great job there at Yahoo. So anyway, Prime Shrimp, PrimeShrimp.com. A lot of flavors for you. The soy ginger is the most recent option. It's great for hibachi-type dishes, proteins, vegetables, rice. Plenty more there with that one. Their best seller is New Orleans-style barbecue. They've got that. They've got the signature is one of my favorites. The full meals in a bag, French Quarter Alfredo, garlic herb butter, and much more. They deliver directly to your door. Then fewer than 10 minutes, freezer to plate with Prime Shrimp. We'll make it a little cheaper for you. Get at least 5 pouches. You can get your favorites. You can use a little sample or a little travel of everything there. 25% off code RG. Again, that is code RG at PrimeShrimp.com.
We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. John's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits, simply not available to other travelers. Just get in touch with John. Tell him what you're thinking about doing. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. That's really important. And he'll give you options as detailed or as simple as you'd like. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email at jedwards@regencytravel.net. Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the square, Opa, perfect place to plan your company dinner, your festive party event. If you're coming up this weekend for baseball, for double-decker, stop by Opa as well. Fabulous food, great craft libations. They can accommodate up to 200 guests, 601-421-7147 if you're interested in catering or booking information. Yeah, we're brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. Listen, if your company is trying to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help. And payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. You've got nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 601-573-9242 or check out their new and improved website at servicespecialistltd.com. Get the beautiful and healthy smile you deserve at Corinth Dental. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures that will result in a beautiful, long-lasting smile. From routine checkups to advanced treatment, including implants and Invisalign, Corinth Dental is here to help you achieve your smile goals. So schedule your appointment today. Take the first step toward a better version of yourself at corinthdental.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Factor's Meals. They're delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, popular items like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, more than 60 add-ons every single week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. It's tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Call to action here. Factormeals.com/MPW50 and use code MPW50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off for the next box. That's code MPW50 at factormeals.com/MPW50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So, I guess that's it for the college stuff. I'm kind of like, I mean, it is literally Groundhog Day where I catch myself as we're talking going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Something sort of happens while nothing happens. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. we move, but we don't really move. We just kind of shift. It's no real movement as we wait on all these damn court cases to finish out and then see where we're at.
In some ways that might be the answer that they would tell you. Like I think if you were to have a really honest answer with Greg Sankey about where's this all going, I think his answer would be, we don't really know because you got to wait and see what happens with these court cases, because the court cases might mandate that you go in a completely different direction.
Yeah. You know, I saw up top, they were making a joke, said UNA messed up Tim Elko in the ACL. It ended Kermit's tenure with that loss in basketball there on that night in December. And
expedited the end.
Yes. And now Bianco dealing with this. I can easily make the argument, though, that Ole Miss doesn't win the national title if Elko doesn't tear his ACL against UNA, because I don't think he's on the roster that season.
Oh, that's a good point.
And you can make the argument they don't win if Tim's not on that team.
The butterfly effect.
Just saying, we like the butterfly effect. Sure. And
no, because he would have had such a good season that he would have gone pro.
Probably. And tried it.
And without him.
Probably doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It takes a bat away. It takes your leader away. The whole deal. It doesn't happen. It's
they do not win the championship that year without Elko.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah. As much as I don't like one player emphasizing the statue and stuff, Tim was absolutely the heartbeat of that team that made that happen.
They don't win the national championship.
You're exactly right. Yeah,
they don't. Period.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fight that fight.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I mean, no.
There are a few players that they did not exist on that team, and Tim's A1 top of the list.
He was too valuable in the middle of the year when
it was all going to hell in a handbasket.
I mean, I was doing the show with Peyton. And Peyton's one of the most positive people you'll ever meet. Positive. And Peyton was beginning to acknowledge that, hey, this is
not going well.
It's probably not going where it needs to go.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
And they were running out of time.
The main voice that kept everybody pushing in the same direction was Tim Elko's.
The AD at Memphis is headed to Missouri to be their new athletic director. Laird Vetch? How do you pronounce his name?
Vetch, I think.
Vetch, is that correct?
I think.
We'll ask Jeffrey on Thursday. Okay. He's headed to Missouri.
Did you read Gabe's column?
No.
It's fantastic.
About what?
About the search.
It was not a good search?
Well, it was a stupid search.
Oh, okay.
In college athletics, this is the other problem with college athletics, right? Okay. We are asking people... There are exceptions. Keith Carter's an exception. We're asking people that are really bureaucratic. Hey, we have to do this a certain way. We need a search committee. We need to talk about this. We need to evaluate. He was the obvious answer. Like when their AD left to go to Arizona, when Gabe and them put a hot board together.
Hang on, the AD left Missouri to go to Arizona?
Yeah, there was some stuff after that.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Kind of had to go.
Okay, all right.
It was, you need to go ahead and go because otherwise things are going to get a little ugly. And
sure.
Okay. So she bolts. They put a hot board together, and he's the first name on it because he's the name that makes sense. He'd been there before. He's done a really good job at Memphis with football and facilities and NIL and whatnot, right? And yet they had to go through this long thing, and they paid a search committee $250,000. And
they pay turnkey too. Everybody pays turnkey.
It's a good day to be turnkey.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody can. You can't get up and you can't get up and go to the restroom.
I'm not sure 20 years ago the path would have been, hey, I need to start a turnkey. That's the answer to this economic problem.
Because some people in college athletics, but, hey, before I turn on the coffee for the morning,
I got to hire a committee.
I need you guys to tell me which coffee to do.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of water?
What blend?
Are we using sugar in the raw today? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, just about how they, and the secrecy, that must be so secret. Everything's, don't tell anyone what's going on. These are the people that are running college sports for the most part. You want them to fix big picture stuff?
It took them 63 days, and I had not read this column, I promise. It's they great. Paid turnkey $125,000.
Yeah, to hire the person that Gabe could have hired in 4 seconds.
I'll start one of these search firms. How we do this? What's the?
We watch it all the time.
Hey, come call me for your college baseball searches. I will be happy to put a list together for you, some pros and some cons. I'll make some connections.
Think about how many times you and me have just gone, that's what you should just hire that dude.
You know how like
we would have saved people a lot of time.
I was about to say, you know how sometimes. When people are negotiating movie contracts, the production company doesn't have a lot of money to pay the actor up front, so they give them points on the back end, so they make money from the whatever.
Yeah.
We needed points on the back end of Lane Kiffin's hiring. Like, I feel like points on the back end there would have been economically profitable to this entity.
I don't get enough credit for the column that I wrote on the day that they took the interim tag off Matt Luke. Everybody goes, oh, your podcast was really influential. I'm like, screw that. 2 years earlier, I wrote the column the day that they did. People goes, that's really bad business. I'm like, I know.
But it wasn't wrong.
I was right.
The podcast was.
Last, we said hire Beard. And that Beard left for Arkansas, we were going to say hire Will Wade. Just do it.
The hell with what the SEC says. Hire him.
And the truth is, on this baseball thing, in the event that it goes south, I can tell you the first name on the board.
Yeah, I know whose picture is going to be out front that day. I mean,
we won't even. Yeah, they make people in that field, and I can almost hear like Keith go, "You don't understand."
Yeah,
but he's more of a water. He's frankly, they need more people like him.
He identified a dude and went and did it once it kind of got there. It took a minute.
They need more people like him. Who I think
he liked Norvell, went down the route for a minute, yeah, and then moved on.
They need more pragmatic people who look at things and go, okay, here's what we're going to do. Instead, they have all of these very bureaucratic committee-type people. Man, you form 82 committees to figure out college athletics. All you're going to do is make it worse.
No, Ole Miss has a godsend right now with Keith willing to make sometimes – people really pissed off to do something, and Boyce completely supporting the decision and backing him and going, yeah, sounds good, do it. You're cool. I'll handle this guy, you handle this guy, and we'll move on and go.
Oh, Boyce is pragmatic.
Yeah.
In a field full of non-pragmatic people. Mm-hmm. In a field full of people.
That's my point. There's no red tape. It just goes. Yeah, okay.
It's concerned with feelings.
Yeah.
Concerned with results.
It's why I think we would have been at least on the right track as far as a potential candidate with Will Wade. Is there a lot of places to go, oh God.
Yeah.
Is he going to win? Okay. Let's at least run down the road. Let's see what's up.
You saw it this time. I mean, he didn't get another job. People are like, oh, he's got a show cause and we're scared. And I don't know.
Sounds 10 years ago, people would be thinking, okay, you've lost your mind and should be admitted into Whitfield or something when I ask this question. J.J. Redick interviewing for the Hornets job.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a worse position than when he currently is in the media?
100%.
As podcast and analyst?
Yeah.
His better move is to stay where he is and not be the Hornets head coach.
Unless what his dream is to coach.
Okay, and maybe so.
And if it is, hey, man.
I mean, dude loves the hoop. Now,
he loves, and he knows the game backwards and forwards.
I don't give a crap about basketball, and his podcasts are really good.
Oh, he's
good. I'll listen to him talk. Like analytics stuff and like routing and plays.
He's great.
And I have no idea what's going on.
He's great.
But I'm like, sure, okay. Teach me, Obi-Wan.
It's the part about him when people do this, and I'm, the answer that you don't know is like, he's the guy that has to look in the mirror each morning. What does he want to do? No, what does he want to do? Does he want to coach? If he wants to coach, go coach. I mean, look, it's no secret Andy's a friend.
Yeah, sure.
And Andy was so good on TV. I wasn't the only person going, hey, man, just keep doing it. But he wanted to coach.
Yeah, I get it.
The coaching was in his blood, right? I mean, Andy could have been a superstar on TV.
He could have.
I mean, he's hilarious and knows the game and can communicate the game on multiple levels, can communicate it at a coach level and can communicate it at a talking to you level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean you.
Yeah,
you
know, no, yeah, yeah.
Me, you, yeah. People that don't know the game the way he knows the game, because we're not paid to know the damn game the way they know the game. But he wanted to coach. So I don't know what Reddick wants to do. I could listen to J.J. Reddick sit and drink red wine and talk about basketball for hours.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fascinating. I learned so much from everyone.
He's really interesting.
I mean, I now, just from watching listening to his show, even a couple of his shows with LeBron.
He makes LeBron better. He makes LeBron more likable, more palatable.
Yeah.
Funnier.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Let you see a side of him that you don't otherwise see.
It is the best move LeBron James has done for his career off court in his entire life.
So would he have that same impact on players? I don't know. Would he have the same would he have the same voice in an organization? I don't know the answers to those things.
Because while obviously he was a great college player, hung around the NBA for a long time, was a really good player, he's not going to have that Michael Jordan, Larry Bird gene of like, God, just do what I do.
Right.
Stop. Like, I mean, who's the best former player coach?
Well, I mean, Bird was really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
Avery Johnson had a run.
He did. Bird had a better run. I mean, Michael Jordan got in the way.
Yeah, sure.
Otherwise, they win a title.
Yeah, sure.
Jerry West, I guess, had a pretty good run. But yeah, for the most part, great players don't make great coaches.
Yeah, sure.
There's a reason that around Major League Baseball, a lot of managers are backup catchers.
Is it a favor or is he actually a real candidate?
I don't know.
Because hasn't he been kind of linked before?
He has. I don't know.
Technically, Pat Riley played in the NBA too, I guess, if you want to go
there. He did. Yeah, he played.
Yeah, not technically played 10 years.
Phil Jackson played.
Yeah.
You know, but Phil Jackson was
not a star.
They weren't star players, right? I mean, Magic wasn't a good coach because he was like, just do it.
I mean, is J.J. Redick a guy who looks at Steve Kerr and goes, hey, I could do that?
Probably. Not a bad.
Yeah.
Both real smart guys.
Yeah. Similar games.
Communicate,
not that, that matters.
Can communicate.
Yeah.
Understands things in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Probably has studied a lot of, clearly has studied a lot of basketball.
His podcast has been interesting to me too, like the relationship with Krzyzewski and the way he's pushed and their odd dynamic of, frankly, JJ kind of pissing him off constantly.
Sure.
Krzyzewski's so strict and just by the book and.
I mean, Reddick was a really good player.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't 6'9".
But in college, he was a hell of a player.
Oh, he's a beast.
It was a really good clip the other day trying to figure out the fourth most hated Duke player of all time. The top three were automatic, and they were trying to figure out who the fourth one would be. It's
Leitner, Reddick.
And Grayson Allen.
And Grayson Allen, yeah.
And then trying to figure out who's in that. Because really, it's a three. It's not a four. So you get into a little bit of a different spot when you get into the
Steve Wojciechowski was pretty hated.
Oh. Before my, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mark Allery was hated. Jay Billis was hated a little bit.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those guys sort of set the table for Leitner.
Yeah.
Leitner was hated.
Is that A1?
Yeah.
Okay. Success and everything. Yeah.
Leitner was a damn good college player now.
On the dream team.
I mean, one of the greatest college players ever.
Mm-hmm.
His resume is, it might never, in today's era, it might never be matched.
Yeah, because of the length and longevity of it.
I mean, you know, and he, like, people criticize the whole dream team thing, like him over Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
But they played against each other twice in college, and Leitner dominated him twice. Now, is Shaq a better player? Of course. Was Shaq a better pro? Of course.
Big as Leitner?
I mean, 6'11".
Oh, was he that big?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he was skilled.
Yeah.
That was a good team.
They were going to put a college kid on the team.
Yeah. And Shaq was a better pro.
Yeah, sure.
But at that moment, Leitner made a lot of sense.
Like, I saw Shaq, I even forget who he put around him. I want to say he made himself the third best center of all time. I think he put himself three, was where it was.
Yeah.
I'm cool. Good with that.
Cool with that.
I'd have been good with anywhere, frankly. I mean, he could have made an argument.
Who was number one?
He might have been Wilt, maybe, but I don't recall necessarily.
See, I have an unpopular opinion on this. I think the greatest center of all time is Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, really?
And I think we might be staring at number two right now.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, ball skills are ball skills, so... Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area and offer MedSeat. For your prescriptions the same day each month, take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery, and you have everything you need when you need it with G&M. Also located in Holly Springs, Tyson Drugs. They're on the square in Holly Springs. So again, let them help you with all your pharmaceutical needs, including transferring your medications. They make that easy. You make one phone call. They take care of the rest. Again, in Oxford, that's 662-236-2222.
Are you a displaced corporate executive wanting to put your career in your own hands? Are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Either way, Andy Ludeke can help. He's a longtime Rivals board member, a diehard college football fan, franchise veteran, owns multiple franchises and businesses, and uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. So call Andy. Put your life and your career in your own hands. It's 100% free. You've got nothing to lose. MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy@MyPerfectFranchise.net or 404-973-9901. Southern Traditions Farm is a 68-acre, 32-stall, upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Two sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails. A lot offered at Southern Traditions. Horseback riding offerings from beginner to advanced to competing in nationally recognized competitions. It's also a great venue for corporate outings, events, and that type of thing. So get in touch with them on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. I'll have a mailbag tomorrow. It's brought to you by Art Hayes of Sotheby's International Realty. Are you thinking of making a move? Put the power of Sotheby's International Realty to work for you. As a licensed agent with Sotheby's International Realty and a supporter of all things Ole Miss, Art Hayes can help you buy or sell in your hometown or anywhere in the world at no charge to you. Seriously. So call and ask him how. 612-805-5929 or email Arthur@lakesmn.com.
So the Patriots probably trading down and not taking one of those quarterbacks, even though they don't have a quarterback right now?
Well, I mean, you
staying
know,
away from Daniels or McCarthy probably.
You probably know my answer here.
Yeah.
Unless you just really believe, you don't spend a first-round pick on a quarterback.
Now, the question is, are you trying to grab Penix or Nix or somebody and play the middle game at that point?
I mean, if you don't believe that a guy is a franchise guy, no doubter, you don't spend your first-round pick on him. Too many needs in football. Now, if you think he is a franchise pick, no matter what the hell everybody else is saying, you take your guy.
Oh, sure. Hey, it's your neck.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
You don't worry about what everybody else thinks. But, man, when you go quarterback in the first round, then it's a bust. You just don't recover.
You're just done.
You just don't recover. Isn't it funny? You go linebacker first round, then he busts. Nobody really holds that against you. Quarterback, done. Never recover.
Yeah. Mitch Trubisky lives on forever, not the defensive end.
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah. I don't know, if you trade your entire draft for 4 years for Ricky Williams, that'll come back to bite you a little bit.
I mean, they're always outliers, but sure.
Now we just keep maxing out the credit card. Doesn't exist.
It's no.
Fine. I'll deal with it later. Loomis is like, that'll be somebody's problem when I'm dead. I don't know.
Loomis is like, the federal government does it.
Yeah, he's just going.
At some point, somebody's going to walk into there 5-6 years from now and go, oh, my God.
Yeah, there's old man don't care, and that's kind of where we're getting with Loomis a little bit. Yeah. Like, I had a had a, one of my best friends in high school, his granddad lived in town and he lived by himself. And I, this is one of those moves where you just know this is somebody else's problem, is he was still a smoker. And I mean, he put him out. He wouldn't even be a fire hazard, I don't guess. But he literally just took all of his butts and threw them behind the couch for years. So when he died, they found this 4-foot mound of cigarette butts where he'd just been tossing them over his shoulder. Not my problem. Yeah. It's somebody else's deal one day.
I won't be the one that cleans it up.
No, no, no. It's all good. Speaking of the Memphis search, Allen Green was at Ole Miss for a couple nights, sleep there. He is on the list for the Tigers AD. I saw okay. seven names listed. I don't know. A couple of dudes at Tennessee, including Green. It's one internal candidate at Memphis. I don't know. Nobody Ole Miss related in the in that. No, Brad Bohannon is not who I would choose for Ole Miss's next head coach. That is not correct.
Nope.
If you had to hire one, you hire Bohannon or Canizero?
Canizero.
It's Canizero. Yeah.
Bohannon, come on.
I wouldn't trust him to coach my 2A high school team right now.
I wouldn't trust him to back Carson's car out of the driveway. I mean, what an idiot.
That day that all went down and the exact story, like, I'm getting blown up, people going, hold on a minute. Huh? Like, that.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, it's one of the things when I've done some stupid stuff.
At least I'm not Brad Bohannon.
No, I literally have told myself, well, at least it wasn't as stupid as what Brad Bohannon did.
I need a video of the guy trying to convince the dude behind the desk at the sport book going, no, I have the coach on the phone. Trust me.
You know, that dude's like, I can't believe this. This has got to be a prank.
Where's Candid Camera?
Yeah. I mean, looking around
Ashton
going,
Kutcher jumping out somewhere. Yeah, like, what are we doing?
That guy had to think, or woman had to think, I'm being pranked.
Yeah. Was Punked was a show on MTV back in the day.
This is a joke.
Yeah.
And then can you imagine what went through his or her mind? That's who I'd love to talk to. I'd love to get that person on the show and go, just take me through it.
You're just minding your own business, dude.
Somebody's been coming in going, hey, I want the Reds money line, or hey, I want the Cubs money line, or I'm taking, you know.
Because all you do is take a bunch of $20 bets.
Because it was what, April?
Yeah, sure.
I'm putting a futures bet on
whomever.
Smoking Joe to win the Kentucky Derby, sure. Whatever. I mean, it's a Friday afternoon in Cincinnati. Just chilling, right? Probably thinking about, hey, I get off in a couple hours. I'm gonna meet my friends at the bar, whatever. And all of a sudden, this guy's like, I want to put $100,000 on this college baseball game. And they're like, we don't really do college baseball bets.
Hey, Pat, we got lines on that college game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right.
You have to take this money. Yeah, we got a limit on that. No, you have to do this. It's a sure thing. And it's like, well, that's not talking me into it.
Yeah.
I've got the coach on the phone. Look. Yeah, so whenever you're out there and you think, you know, I just did a stupid thing. Okay. Give yourself some grace and go, I'm not Brad Bohannon.
Some Auburn fans really missed an opening with one of those WWJD bracelets doing WWBBD and just do the opposite. What would Brad Bohannon do? It gives you the answer in the other way.
Oh, shit.
What do you think Aaron Boone told the league office when he called it after he got thrown out for a fan yelling at the umpire 2 days ago?
I suspect he told him exactly what he said on the field, which is this can't happen.
And then the umpire justifying it in his head and going, he's responsible for everything. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? No, you're a moron.
That was the umpire made an emotional, stupid reaction, and then instead of fixing it.
For anyone who hasn't seen this, it was the very early on of the A's-Yankees game. And
like second hitter.
Yeah. Boone had griped about a check swing. It had all sort of gone away.
The first hitter with two strikes got hit in the foot by one of those damn sweeping cutters that defy logic. And it was pretty close. Like it was a 50-50 swing. You could say he swung. You could say he didn't swing.
Sure.
Obviously, Aaron Boone in the Yankees dugout believed that he swung.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't be standing on first base. He should be sitting with one out. And so Boone was yelling at the first base umpire about it.
And Boone yells all the time.
He does. He's that way, especially early in games. He's just trying to get his team going. And Hunter Wendelstadt looked over and told him, Aaron.
Not another word.
Not today. Shut up, basically. And Boone Shut up.
He's literally looking at his fingernails. He's examining his cuticles.
Yeah. And
he's like looking down at his cuticles, and a fan behind him is giving the business to Wendelstedt.
In a blue shirt.
Yeah.
You know what he said? Let's go home plate.
Is that what he said?
He didn't even cuss him. Let's go home plate.
You're out of here.
And he goes, Aaron, you're gone. And he goes, I didn't say anything. Like, I didn't say anything. I mean, it was kind of like, I know I always say a lot of stuff, but I didn't say anything. And then he goes, this can't happen. And, you know, that's the call that he made to the league, is this can't happen. You can't throw me out of a game when I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
He told me to shut up. I shut up. That's what he told Wendelstedt. He goes, you told me to be quiet, and I was.
Yeah. For once, I actually shut up. Just get all the robo ops.
Well, and people go, Boone is responsible for everything that happens in the dugout. Okay, yeah, but
it didn't happen in the dugout. It was a fan.
Boone can't be responsible for the fans sitting in the front row seats above his dugout. That's too much.
I mean, this would be in a college game, somebody going, hey, Morris, you suck, and then throwing Mike out. I'm just going, yeah. I mean, I can't handle the dude in section I. I mean.
Mike's use of the F-bomb was pretty strong.
That was good the other day, wasn't it?
Against Mississippi State?
That's
pretty well done.
He's got it in him. Yeah. He doesn't get thrown out very much. He's very careful about it.
Yeah.
He kind of knows.
Never really talked about that, by the way.
He was much more hot younger, early in his career. Like he's told me a story when, I guess he was either year one at Ole Miss or at McNeese, and he just couldn't help himself. He had an on-plate umpire go, hey, don't ever chirp me again. And all Mike went was chirp, chirp, and got ran. And he was like, okay. Like, that's. It's like Polk's thing back in the day, where the umpire told him to go where he couldn't see him, and he went and stood on home plate.
That's good.
That got him ran.
Yeah, that will get you thrown out. But if you're gonna go, that's strong.
Yeah, credit.
What did you think of the bat flip that day? I mean, it was excessive as hell, but everybody wants bat flips. I hate them.
Well, college has made a very clear rule about this. Okay. It's where Mike's right.
Okay.
Mike, the new rule is frankly too prohibitive. It's that if you bat flip or do any type of celebration in the vicinity of an umpire or a player on the other team, you're run.
Oh.
If you bat flip, you get a warning. If you bat flip toward another team or an umpire, you're run. Because there's been some instances, and you're also – here's Mike's where he's pissed. It's not the bat flip. You're not just run, you're out.
Oh.
Tie game.
Oh, so the home run doesn't count.
Home run does not count.
It's as if you flew out to the center fielder.
Yes. And there have been instances, if you go through YouTube and find it, where, I mean, really nothing to them, little bat flips where they've called guys out and done stuff. What I think also, I mean, look, Mike had a point because, look, Long is very demonstrative and emotional and all those things. Sure. It frankly helps State. It gets them going a little bit. They need him.
Sure.
Yeah,
he's nuts.
But I forget who the home plate umpire was. Where Mike was also probably pissed is I think there is a real truth to the umpire was protecting the player because he'd been thrown out the week before. And if you throw him out there, he suspended 3 games.
He was thrown out the week before with the altercation with the Georgia kid at home plate, which was bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the umpire was going, I don't want to suspend the kid 3 games over this. Which is not his problem, I think that's what happened.
What comes to mind as we get closer and closer to the postseason when all of a sudden every game is super emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like in a super regional chase, somebody hits a go-ahead home run, 8th, 9th inning,
and
celebrates?
Dead ball, batter out.
I mean, I'm never team umpire, but right here I'm kind of team umpire. I don't want that responsibility. That's more.
And the rule book has even now gone on to say if there's a doubt, you throw them out. Like they have gone hard that direction.
To try to prevent like an altercation, a fight or whatever, or what? What's the justification?
You know what I mean? All the way around in every sport, they're really limiting taunting. And it's just when it's geared toward, because you're starting to get a lot of instances because of dugouts and whatever, batters really going toward the first base dugout.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost part of the problem, though, is that it's going to be very geared toward the other way.
If you bat flip toward your own dugout, you're okay?
You can be warned, probably, but you're probably not. As long as you got it away from umpires, you're probably warned. And that's what happened. That's when Mike lost it. Is the umpire went over to Lemonis. I think Mike thought they were going to throw him out, and they just warned him. And when Mike comes out there and starts screaming, the umpire he said something like, and it was the wrong thing to say.
He said, I warned him.
He goes, I warned him. We're all excited and emotional here. Or like, there's a lot of just excitement and emotion. And Mike's like, that's not your ruling.
That's not in the rule book.
Yeah, that's where Mike gets pissed, is the umpire gives a reason that's not actually a reason.
And yet, at the same time, I kind of get where the umpire's coming from, because now you're asking me to go determine the game. I don't want to determine the game. I want you guys to determine the game.
Yeah. It was a complicated deal. I mean,
it's a dumb rule. But on the other hand, I hate bat flips.
Mm-hmm.
Hate them. I'm old school in that regard. Like, we're throwing at you next time. Hard.
Yeah. So. Mike was right.
Ole Miss didn't throw at him on Sunday, did they?
Mm-mm. No. Because if you throw at him one time, your pitcher's suspended 4 games.
Yes, you can't.
That's the problem. It's very punitive on a pitcher standpoint.
It's just...
Yeah. Unlike back in 22 when Gattis threw at the A&M guy, where not only did he throw at him, Mike called changeup, Gattis shook him off. Mike called changeup again, Gattis shook him off. Then Mike called outside fastball, and Gattis moved the location inside. And after the changeup, I think it's in the book, Mike goes, oh, shit. Like, he was like, yeah, this is not.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that, though, is Gattis making sure everybody's on the same page instead of just throwing at him. Like, do we really need all the stuff if you're just going to chuck it at him anyway? So.
I always, that argue is, it's a Mets game. It's Terry Collins, and he's out screaming because they threw at the guy and missed.
Mm-hmm.
And the umpire's like, that's it.
And
Collins comes out, you know, you're not letting us do it. And he goes like, hey, our ass is in the jackpot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it's the greatest clip ever.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he tells the other umpire, he goes, you handle them, I've got Terry.
And he's
walking down going, hey, get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Terry, you don't understand, our ass is in the jackpot.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, you do feel for the umpires in those moments because
there's no right yet.
There's no real solid solution there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing. Because if you do letter of the law right there and say Long's out.
Yeah.
Home runs off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably just determined the game.
Mm-hmm.
They played 10 innings and you determined the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he legitimately hit a home run. It went over the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so by taking that away, your judgment is determining the game, which is probably the one thing that they don't. It's why people complain about NBA games. Like, there were two last night, Philadelphia, New York, and then the Lakers and the Nuggets. We're late in the game. The officials kind of swallowed the whistle. And I think it's fair to criticize that, but it's also fair to say, from a human standpoint, those guys have been up and down a court with some of the greatest athletes in the world for the last 2.5 hours, and they don't want to determine the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic is on the court. LeBron James is on the court. Let them determine the outcome.
Yeah.
If I blow the whistle with 1.6 seconds left,
I decided it.
Right, I decided the game. I don't want that. It's a weird spot. Yet at the same time, but those 1.6 seconds, how's that any different than 12 minutes and 18 seconds into the game? And that's more than fair.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, LeBron James missed an open three and Jamal Murray made a fadeaway. Ball game. But I get it. It's a complicated thing. When people just go, I hate officials, they suck. It's like, well, it's a lot more complicated than that. It's a lot more nuanced than that if you want to be perfectly, like the bat flip thing. Because you know it's going to happen in some super regional somewhere.
Yeah.
Some kid's going to hit a home run that's the biggest moment of his sports life.
And
he's going to be jacked out of his freaking mind, and he's going to flip a bat. And an umpire's going to go, what do I do?
Because the other dude's about to ream me the other way, and here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, back with you tomorrow. Again, school day game, 11 a.m., coverageRebelGrove.com. Got recruiting stuff up, and then whatever hits is something always hits from day to day right now. So, have a good day. Take care, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.